Certainly most of you are familiar with the name Pete Rose. Pete Rose, in his 2004 autobiography, finally admitted to gambling, betting against baseball while he was manager of the Cincinnati Reds. I'm sure if you don't know the story, it's a well-known one. Manager of the Cincinnati Reds, betting against baseball, caught, fined, banned from baseball for the rest of his life, spent the next 15 years denying that he had done a biography, published in 2004, said that he did actually commit this crime against baseball. So his contrition. His contrition comes in the form of a signed baseball. He will send it to you. And on that signed baseball, these words are written in his own hands. I'm sorry that I bet on baseball. And he will send that baseball to you for the low price of $300 plus shipping and handling. You got to wonder, you know, does he really mean it? You know? Seems like he should be sending us a dollar at least or something plus a free baseball. I mean, if he really means it, I don't know. But it begs the question, you know, what is real contrition to say you're sorry? And then especially the subject we've been pursuing together for several weeks now, what is real forgiveness? What does it look like? What does it feel like? How do you know when you've arrived? Is it an arrival or is it a journey? It really is a journey. Not so much an arrival. What does it really look like? What is forgiveness? And we began last time we were together looking at the steps to dissolving anger and the steps to forgiveness to bring us to the point where we're where God wants us to be, not living in bitterness anymore, not living in unresolved anger, dealing with it, walking in forgiveness, being the kind of people that God wants us to be, forgiving people. How do we get to that place? Well, we've been looking at those steps, and this morning we're not going to continue in those steps, even though there are a number more that I'm going to be giving to you. This morning, I want us to back up. We've been pursuing the direction of what is real forgiveness. I want us to step back for just a second before we continue in that direction, and I want us to go in just a little bit different direction, and I want us to consider not what forgiveness is, but what forgiveness isn't. We need to eliminate the possibilities of what we may define as forgiveness. And there's a lot of them out there. And I'm going to be only giving you three this morning. They're the big ones. They're the overarching ones that are mistakes. If we interpret forgiveness this way, it is, as the ones I'm going to be showing you, it's a mistake. And there's a lot of mistakes out there in the world. Don't pray to what would otherwise we would consider to be forgiveness. Remember, we have an enemy that wants to keep you captive. And he wants to keep you captive through your anger and through your unresolved issues and through unforgiveness. And so he's going to sell you. He's going to try to sell you lies. And I want to try to disseminate some of those lies this morning. And I want to be dealing this morning, as I said, well, what forgiveness isn't. A man stumbles out of a bar, an example, in a drunken stupor. He unfortunately finds the keys to his car, finds his car, gets in, starts it, careens down the road, old boy, and he's killed almost instantly. The drunk, of course, survives. And the parents of this boy, are Christians. They're trying to reconcile themselves to this situation. They know that the Scripture says they forgive. This man, through his stupidity, has robbed them of this one, this precious one that they love. How do they get to the place where they forgive, where the anger is resolved, where they're the place where God wants them to be? How is it possible? It's going to take a miracle from God to do this. And so they're working desperately, trying to get to the place where they've worked through this and worked through their bitterness and making sure that they're not harboring any bitterness in their heart. And as a result, they decide they take a bad course. They decide, instead of just out-and-out forgiveness, they decide to excuse what the man did. Now, is that forgiveness? They decide to place the blame of the accident not on the man, but on alcohol. It was alcohol, after all, that got him in the crazy state that he was. It was alcohol that impaired his judgment and brought him into the other lane. Had it not been for alcohol, if there was no such thing as alcohol, the man wouldn't have hit this other car, and their son would still be alive. And so they... No, they have not. They've fallen trapped to a lie. Excusing, listen, offenses is not forgiveness. It's not forgiveness. Excusing means placing the blame for what somebody did on someone or something, in most cases, something else. Let's examine this briefly together. First of all, alcohol is an inanimate substance, is it not? You put it in a bottle, you put it in a container, you set it on the shelf, it will do nothing forever. It doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't talk to anybody. It doesn't commit any crimes. It doesn't cause any wrecks or any deaths or any injuries. It doesn't devastate families. It doesn't do those things. It's inanimate, right? But you take an inanimate object and you animate it in the hands of a fallen creature, which is what we are, and then you can have issues, can't you? Then you can have problems. You really can. Animated in the hands of sinners like us, it turns into something it shouldn't be. But is it the alcohol's fault? No. Sinners, we're responsible. To take the blame and place it somewhere else is not to deal with it correctly. It's excusing is not forgiveness. Consider, here's a passage that maybe some would pull on and say, well, this is where the Bible says that we should excuse, and that's not what it's saying. Consider. That's different from excusing. In order to overlook something, you must first forgive. What you did to me was wrong, but my relationship with you and my relationship with God, more importantly, is more important than anything else. And so I'm going to overlook it, but it's not excusing it. It's not placing the blame somewhere else. No, you did this. It was wrong, but I forgive you. That's what forgiveness says. Excusing says, you didn't do this. Something else did this. Excusing, again, is not forgiveness. It's not forgiveness. C.S. Lewis put it this way. He said, Christianity means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in us. Christianity, part of Christianity, means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in us. It takes it head on, straight on. It doesn't defer. It doesn't say something else happened. Someone else did something. It was their environment. It was the family they were raised in. It was because other things happened to them in the past. And I'm not saying that those things are not necessarily contributing factors, but the fact is, they did it. They did it. Back to alcohol, by the way, you know, if you leave a bar drunk anymore, who they fine? Not you. Society. It's messed up. It's really messed up. Excusing is not being or reconciling either. Forgiveness isn't, or I should say, not necessarily very directly, it isn't. It isn't reconciling, and it isn't trusting. Those are separate issues from forgiveness. An example, your son. You find drugs in his room, in your house. You take the evidence to him and confront it with him, and he confesses to you. He says he's sorry. He cries. He apologizes. He did something that he shouldn't have done. He's involved in something he shouldn't be involved in. He swears it will never happen again. Not only will it not come into your house, it will not come into his body. He will not be involved. He will not do anything. He promises. He swears. He cries. And then when it's all over, and you forgive him, as you should, then when it's all over, though, he wants all of his rights and privileges back. He wants the keys to the car. He wants his curfew back to what it was before he did this transgression, the curfew that he had earned your trust with for a long time. That's why he gets to go out and do the things. He wants to make the shots. Call. What do you do? Forgive him, but don't give him his stuff back. Please. Forgiveness isn't trust. And he says to you, well, if you forgive me, you'll trust me. What do you say to him? That's what you say. He's crazier than he looks. And you're not. You're smarter than he thinks you are. No way, Jose. No way. Forgiveness isn't the same as trust. Forgiveness, listen, God is your reason to forgive. You need no more reason. God has forgiven you so much, you have to forgive. You must forgive, ma'am, sir. You must. You do not have an option in that. God is your reason to forgive, but that person has to come up with your reason, with a reason for you to trust them. Make sure you separate between the two. A lot of lie going out there saying, unless you forgive, unless you trust, you haven't forgived. Again, what do? Sorry. Same is true with reconciliation. Reconciliation is very similar to trust. If you really forgive, then you will reconcile the relationship. And I would say, not necessarily. Not necessarily. Can we agree that God wants us to reconcile with people? I can agree with that. I can definitely agree with that. That's the heart of God, that he reconciles us. Jesus Christ came to this world to reconcile us first to God with the hope that we would also, in the process, be reconciled to each other. But the fact is, guys, reconciliation takes two. Your offender coming together in terms. So because he offended or she offended you, you don't need him or her. Again, they've got to earn the reason for you to trust them. There is a difference. It's a lie that says you must trust me and our relationship must go back to its original state. No, you hope that it goes there, but it doesn't have to go there. A lot of times people that say that are simply saying this. They're saying, okay, I hurt you and I now still want to live exactly like I was living before, but I want things to be between me and you to be right. They can't be. If he wants to live the same way he lived before, you can't be with him. You can't have friendship, relationship. You can't. Reconciliation requires him or her to change. If they keep doing their same thing, sometimes the best thing to do to walk in forgiveness is to walk away. Because if they're going to keep hurting you and keep offending you, and you're going to have to keep coming up with ways to forgive, are you not? So better to lessen the damage and walk away. Now, is that God's heart? No, it's not. God wants things to work out. But the bottom line is, you have to deal with your own stuff. Your own stuff is, I forgive them. They have to work things out. When they did, to the whole world. He wants to trust us. He wants to forgive us. But the whole world is not coming to him to be reconciled. Let me show you a couple of verses before we go any further with this. First of all, does God trust us? Notice what it says here. But Jesus, on his part, was not entrusting himself to them. It's talking about his disciples and all the people that followed him. So the big 12 and then the rest. For he knew all men because he did not need anyone to bear witness concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man. Does God trust us? Heavens, no, he doesn't trust us. He knows what's in our heart. He knows we're fallen creatures. He knows how messed up we are. He does not trust us. He has levels of trust, but full all-out trust, guys, is not available. He doesn't do that because he knows. But does that mean he doesn't forgive us? Of course not. Forgiveness is not the same as trust. Forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation either. Watch this. 2 Corinthians 5:19 and 21. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Does that mean the whole world's going to be in heaven? No. Watch what Paul says. Not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. You see? There's two sides to this relationship. God is reconciled. The cross and the blood that was shed on that cross is sufficient to cover all the sins of all the people forever. That's what he says. He's reconciled himself to that. It's sufficient. He trusts. But now it remains for the world to be reconciled to God, right? See, the ball's in their court. And it's because of that side of the equation there's going to be a lot of people in hell. Not God's side of the equation. God has done everything he can to open, and the door is open. How do we know when a door is open still in a person's life? They're still alive. That's how we know. You can still pray for them. You can still witness to them. You can still hope for them that they will turn to God. That they, the side of the equation that belongs to them, that they will do. But God has reconciled himself to us. Likewise, when you forgive, you're basically reconciling yourself to the situation. Now the whole other side belongs to them, and it's their choice. But you've still forgiven. You've still done your part. Because forgiveness is not necessarily reconciliation. One more. Forgiveness is not excusing. Forgiveness is not trust or reconciliation necessarily. Forgiveness is not forgetting. That's the third and final thing. Forgiveness is not forgetting. She hurt, gave her. You've done, by God, your best to walk in forgiveness, even though the hurt of the betrayal, whatever it was deep. Put it away. But occasionally the thoughts, the memories of what she did still comes back, and so you say to yourself, have I really forgiven? You probably have. You probably have. Because there's nothing you can do about thought. I mean, your mind is not a hard drive of a computer that we can reformat. I wished it was. Don't you? There are some things that I would love to erase and never recall them again. But the fact is, it's not that way. And part of forgiveness, as we've already talked about, not part of it, all of it, is being willing to live with the consequences of someone else's sin. It's a tough definition, but that's real forgiveness, because that's exactly what God has done for you. Being willing to live with the consequences of someone else's sin, and part of those consequences is the memories. And the fact that you have to fight those memories. They put you in a corner with what they did. That anger that went unresolved was a sin. And now you've come to God and say, God, forgive me. I choose to walk in forgiveness. And that means, that also includes that I never bring it up again. Not with that person, not with anyone else. And likewise, when the thoughts run through my head, I don't entertain them. Thoughts can come in. You can't stop them. But you can stop the entertaining of it. And that's part of forgiveness. It is. But forgiving isn't necessarily forgetting. Love to forget. Really, being interviewed by a reporter, this woman was asked about a former colleague that she had years past who had done her really dirty wrong. And this woman, and he asked her where she was with it and where she was with this former colleague and all this. And that woman was classic. This is what she said. She said, I distinctly remember forgetting that. That's great. I distinctly remember forgetting that. That's forgiveness. Forgiveness is a walk. It's not a point in time. It's a point in time of a decision that you decide to walk. I'm forgiving today, and then tomorrow, and then the next day, and the next time that thought flies to my brain, I'm not entertaining it, and I'm not, as much as I may want to at times, I'm not bringing it up again, because that's forgiveness. That's the way God forgives you, and that's what He asks of you toward others. That's forgiveness, but it's not forgetting. Wished it was. Really wished it was. Alexander Pope reminds us that to err is human, right? To forgive is what? It's divine. To err is human. Humans err. That's one of the reasons why we need to learn how to forgive, because that's just what humans do. Give them a chance. Give them time. They're going to mess something up. You're going to have to forgive. That's just the way it is. You find the perfect person to be in a relationship with, you need to back out of that relationship because you're not the perfect. You're just like me. There's no perfect people. To err is human, but to forgive, which God requires of us, is, it really is divine. See, what we're talking about here on Sunday mornings, what we're explaining here, what we're going through here, is what we're asking of God is a miracle. It's a miracle to forgive. This whole process, don't mistake it. It's not something that you work up within yourself. You're asking God for a miracle. It's going to take a miracle for you to forgive, is it not? And many of you here have had that miracle worked in your life, haven't you? You've had things happen to you, and you have forgiven them, and even now you say, I don't even know how I forgave, but praise God I did. It was a work of God in your life, wasn't it? It's a miracle. That's what we're asking, and really, is that not a good description? I think a very good description of the Christian life. The good description of Christian life is a miracle, a miraculous life. I can't believe what you've been through, what you've experienced, and the kind of person that you are today. It's a miracle, they should be able to say. What you were and what you are now, it's a miracle. That's like Jesus said, they should see your good deeds and be able to praise your Father. They should know where it came from. Good description. There ought to be something about you that cannot be explained in any other way other than the Christian life. A miracle. It takes a miracle. Causes miracles. Forgiveness does. One more example and we'll be done. Shannon Etheridge was 16 years old. Recently got her driver's license. Was exercising her newfound freedom, driving her car to school one morning. Not quite fully daylight, not quite paying attention to what she was doing, blaring the radio. She didn't see a middle-aged woman by the name of Marjorie Jarsfar riding her bicycle on the side of the road. She wasn't in the road, she was on the side. Not paying attention, blaring her radio, thinking she had the world by the tail, she swerved accidentally, and she ran over Marjorie, killed her. 16 years old, barely got her driver's license, and now she is charged with manslaughter for what she did. It was her fault. She was negligent. This woman was not in any way in the road. She had to swerve over to get her. She didn't mean to, but that's what happened. Charges were being brought against her of manslaughter, this horrible thing. This girl is just totally, completely devastated. Guilt-ridden is not even a word, not even a descriptive word for her. Marjorie Jarsfar was a Christian. Gary also, a very deep, committed Christian. And when he heard that the DA was bringing charges against her for manslaughter, he stopped the entire process. He said, no, enough, you will not do it. He asked the judge to drop all the charges. He asked permission to meet, only to meet with her one time and with her parents one time. He said, I just want to meet in private with him one time and then this thing is going to be over. He met with little Marjorie, little Shannon, and he said to her, I love my Marjorie. He says, this is what you need to know. You cannot let this ruin your life, he said to her. He said, I want to speak to you on behalf of God. I believe this is what God wants to say to you. You're a Christian, Shannon. My wife was a committed Christian. I'm a committed Christian. You need to know that you're forgiven because God has forgiven me. But this is what God wants to hear. Wants you to hear. He wants you to know that He wants to strengthen you through this. He wants to take this and turn it into something that it could have never, the polar opposite of what it seems it could have been. He said, I want to pass on to you my Marjorie, he said this to her, my Marjorie's legacy. She was a wonderful Christian lady. She loved people. She served them. She served God. I want you to be the same lady. I want you to be the same kind of person. You know what? That's exactly what she did. Shannon Etheridge, that was 16 years old. She grew up, had a family, is now a coveted speaker, a best-selling author. Christian books. She has written books, for instance, Every Girl's Battle, Every Woman's Battle. Her most recent published book entitled Completely His, Loving Jesus Without Limits, helps women overcome guilt. She knows that, doesn't she? You want to say to me that forgiveness is not miraculous? It's miraculous, guys. It requires a miracle, and it works miracles. It works miracles. Our world is looking for miracles. They're looking for something, not another line of doctrine that says, okay, you believe this and you do this and these are the things you go through. Da 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 da. We don't need any more of that stuff. We're looking for something real. Life-changing, dynamic relationship with the author of the universe. If they know it or not, that's what they're looking for. That's what we've got. Things about us that cannot be explained any other way but a miracle, starting with forgiveness. Starting with forgiveness. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you for the miracle of forgiveness in my life, for the miracle that you have worked at times to forgive also through me. I thank you for the many miracles that are sitting in this auditorium, miracles that they were once an enemy of God. They once were lost and dead in their trespasses and sins. And not only they are alive, but now they are sons of God, children of God. What a miracle. We are your miracles, God. Thank you for working the miraculous in us. Lord, as you've called us to this dead world, lost, gone, mistaken, you've called us to be miracle workers, giving out the miracle of forgiveness. Lord God, we in this room, there's no doubt many hurts, many pains, some things ongoing. Lord, we need a miracle. We need you to work a miracle in our hearts, in our lives. A miracle, God, that only you can do. Intervene, Lord, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.